Hi everyone, welcome to another episode of my podcast. We have another special guest actually coming back. Hi Meg, welcome to China podcast again.
Oh my gosh, hello, so good to be back after what, like 4 months, 3 months?
Yeah, so I think we had our previous episode like 3 months ago, and then you actually went to the US, right?
Yep, it was like on the cusp of a soon to embark creative expiration, which is such a timely time for me to actually, you know, be introduced to the listeners of your podcast. And at the same time, it was such a pivotal time and unique time for me. So it's so good to be back. I never thought that you'd actually invite me again.
Oh my god. Because I remember you telling me that you always wanted to go on a podcast, and that I think it was your like first time coming on a podcast, right? The previous one?
So I'm actually
glad that I was able to give you that opportunity. So
thank you. I feel like a lot has changed too on your podcast.
Right. So I think we can talk about a lot more on the podcasting, but tell me, how are you? So how was the US trip? And I know you're back home.
Yep, I'm back home. I am free of jet lag already, thank God. I feel like, because my flight back was, I think, 12 midnight. So I kind of got recalibrated very easily. So free of jet lag. I'm surprised that I missed the humidity of the Philippines, of actually sweating 15 minutes in their workout. I super miss that, because I had to have like a heater if I were to, you know, do my own practice at home, which was so difficult to practice yoga at home. But yeah, so it's so different. It's so good to be back. I never thought, you know, I'd say this. But yeah, it was such a very eye-opening, no words, creative exploration. Like, I tried to remove the creative exploration and just really own it. Own what it is. So yeah, I just got back home last week. Had a couple of days for quarantine coming back here, which was very, you know, weird. I feel like I recalibrated myself at the hotel before coming out to the real world. So yeah, so much to talk about. I can't wait to actually like dive in.
Right. So I remember like when you left for the US, that was like height of the pandemic. And I can't imagine that trip, even that going that taking that flight might have been very stressful, right? Because a lot of safety precautions, so many checks and balances and stuff like that, right? So how was that?
Yeah, actually, like, I expected it to be a lot more unsmooth. Like, when I got there, the line was long on checking in, and while waiting for like my boarding gate, there are a lot of people. They weren't kind of observing social distancing measures, and I kind of didn't wait at the crowded area. But it was a weird time to actually fly out, because I feel like, I don't know if I was flying out with OFWs who are, you know, either meeting their family there or coming back home there. So yeah, it was a weird time. The plane was packed, which is so surprising, but we had to put, you know, our masks on during the flight. So wow. Yeah. Weird times and unique times. But when I got there, very different air. I don't know if it's like heavy, dense air when I landed California, but it was, the process of getting back there was sort of much shorter than how it would be whenever I would visit. So they kind of took away some of the processes that could be, you know, just shortened in a way. So yeah, it's pretty convenient, I should say. Yeah. It's not too bad. Not too bad.
Yeah. So while you were in US, I mean, I know you shared some like IG stories, but you normally don't put like a lot of photos and stuff, right? I saw a couple of them and I felt that you were like kind of like a nomad already, like there, right? I saw you like in different places. And so was that the case? Like you were having like a nomad
style? Nomadic experience. I feel like I sort of adapted into, I don't know, where do I start? The place where we live, where my family lived there, is sort of like a suburb from downtown. So it's technically not in Los Angeles, but it's a county of California, of LA, I think. So it's around, I guess, like 20 minutes away from downtown. So I could take the train or take the bus to head to the busier and the more hipster neighborhoods, but the place where I stayed is pretty very naturey, very quiet, very, very different from the vibe downtown, which I didn't know that I was sort of like would thrive or be craving for that type of silence. Like I would come visit in the States for just 2 weeks every Christmas. So it's always cold. It's very, it's always during winter, but for this trip, like I got to experience actually it being summer and me actually, you know, taking almost daily morning walks by the neighborhood, which was so cool because the tracks and the parks are really made for walking and for people biking, not like here. Like it's so difficult to, you know, have a good morning walk where you won't be, you know, hit by a truck or hit by cars, jeepneys. So it was such a quiet place.
Can I ask, is it like, was it like, so here we have, you know, we have like Makati and then we have like BGC. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So I assume that there it's like everywhere is like BGC, right? Like, is it the case?
The city is quite like Makati and BGC, but the place where I'm in, I would say it's like an outskirt of maybe Laguna or a naturey Cavite, or this, it's more of like the south. The vibe is very, very south, very lots of trees, lots of fresh air, open air places. But of course, like back there, the restaurants and like, you know, the nearby places are quite a drive for you to go to. So I would always take the train or the bus, or just I would commute all the time. Like I don't take the car. I rarely take the car. So I would, you know, take a trip to East LA, or take like a bus trip to this city called Pasadena, which I think you would always see that I would share that I'm always there. So yeah. The fitness classes too are back up, so I got to use my class pass. I don't know if you're familiar with class pass. It's like a subscription app where you can, when they have like an affiliate list of studios and studios classes where you can take, you know, either cycling classes, yoga classes. So I was able to reactivate my account there because it's sort of slowly easing back to normal.
Right. I because I remember that when you, before you left, you were telling me, I think even in the previous episode, like you really miss going to the studios, right? Like doing practices at studios. So this could have been like, it's probably nice that you were able to go back in a studio, right?
Yeah, for sure. And it's quite still like a surprise that they're actually opening back up. I feel like people too are still, you know, like trying to get their hands on, oh my gosh, like it's actually no masks in class, although some would, you know, like some would put their masks on, but for most of what I have attended, like they can allow for you to not have any mask while in class, but they were still, you know, practicing safety measures. But I actually I miss the energy of a collective space, you know, doing a workout, which makes all the difference.
Right. So compared to like your previous time you were there, so was it different because of the pandemic? What differences did you see?
Definitely. I feel like people are, although the city that I would always go in would be quite packed before, but now it's sort of toned down. I would say their weeks would be, let's say, Monday to Thursday, it's quite, you know, it's not too much people, but Fridays to weekends, it's quite, you know, it's sort of back to normal. So I feel like the places are slowly, you know, I would see like lots of establishments closing down, like the few that I've been to before, it's either they're still closed or they're, you know, slowly like opening up their capacities to take guests. But in general, I feel like people are kind of more intentional with their days and how they spend their time after work, or maybe in the middle of the day if they want to work outside their homes. Like there are lots of co-working spaces there, and of course I would always spot people in cafes, you know, doing work. So like different vibe,
right?
There's like an air of, I don't know what it could be called, but it's so odd and weird. But at the same time, like we are truly kind of walking through new roads.
Right. So even though you were there, it didn't felt, I mean, you were away, because I think we actually started another podcast, right? So I think we should tell the audience about it, because you and me started another podcast and while you were there, and we were still managed to record, I think, 4 episodes while you know, I always make fun of this, like you were in the past, I was always in the future, like we were still communicating and we were able to record this podcast called Almost a Music Podcast.
So
maybe you can share your experience of having this idea for the podcast. And I know you came up with this name for the podcast, and and also maybe share what do you think the podcast is about?
Mm-hmm. Okay, so I actually had like an idea that we already talked about this on my first guesting on your podcast. And I was like, wait, we were actually just brewing that idea back then. We had it up, I think, mid-June. Then we recorded the first live Clubhouse room around July, or like along the weeks of that. Yeah. So I always had this, I would always have my notes app like dumped with a lot of thoughts, downloads, if you will, downloads and other, you know, ramblings that I don't like get to post on Instagram so much. Like lots of things. I would jot down like lists or ideas that will just kind of take a backseat and the back burner. And I remember taking down this note. It was actually alongside my work notes. Like I had there, do lab report, do whatever. And alongside it, there was like launch, time to launch Constant Conversations. So Constant Conversations, I think, is a, not sure if it's a song title or a lyric from a song of Passion Pit, a band that I think very era of Foster the People, Bombay Bicycle Club, Oh Wonder, like along with those bands. So the intention was have something. I didn't know that it'll take in the form of a podcast, to have like something where I could maybe exchange conversations with. Like I have no idea what type of conversations, but I just wanted to, you know, have that space to just let it rip and just have like different ramblings on there. So when when you thought about why not we should start like a podcast or like a show, then I was like, wait, like it came kind of full circle because you were into music, I was into music, although we have like different generations of what and who we were into music wise, but I feel like we have so much similarities in type of music, maybe like indie rock or punk rock. I feel like you have attended most of the shows that I would attend to. Right. So, and we were also like into the spiritual space and like the self-development stage, the woo-woo page. And I right. feel like we could find sort of a crossroads and like a ground to meet those two. I don't know how we're doing it actually. Like, I'm so amazed by the dynamic of how we actually, it just flows. And yeah. it's so cool to, you know, have that conversation. That's why I sort of thought na why not name it like Almost a Music Podcast, because the grounds would be music, but at the same time we could go off like different tangents on sharing our spiritual practices and how that kind of weaves with music in general. Like, and what was the other thing that I was thinking? Like, we would always come back to it not being actually featuring someone, but actually getting to know each other more through the conversations and just dive deep into questioning things or just being curious about a lot of things. And I remember asking you, like, Chana, what's the difference of this podcast between your podcast? And you were like saying that was more of like spotlight on who you were featuring, and this was more on actually having conversations on things that we are, you know, passionate about or curious about even.
Yeah. I think we said this in the podcast several times that most of our conversations will be anchored on music, but it's not limited to music, right? It's yep. Most of the time we would see how music would inspire or, you know, complement other things like spirituality, meditation, self-development. I think we dabbled a lot on the spirituality aspects of and even trying to understand the spirituality of music itself, right? So mm-hmm. we did a lot of conversation on that. I'm still thinking, I'm still not sure who is the audience for the Almost the Music podcast, because I think it should be people similar to us, like, you know, who has a deep, deep love for music and also a love for, more of mm-hmm. a curiosity towards spirituality. And, you know, so I see, like, I think we used to have several, like, regular, your friend, I don't remember her name anymore. So
Ivy. Shout out to her.
Ivy was the recent episode, right? So there was,
yeah.
Yeah, so, so there was a couple of people who used to join these discussions with us, right? We even featured, yeah. There were some guests on that. Mm-hmm. What do you think will happen to Almost a Music Podcast? What do you think the direction is, and like, what do you see for the future?
Oh yeah, I feel like it's exciting to just think about that question, because I feel like it's taking shape and taking different forms as we move forward. Like, I appreciate how we are actually taking time to, you know, let it move, let it get some legs. Like, we weren't rushing at all with, okay, like, this by this time we should have like X number of episodes, or we should have featured this type of guest, but like letting it grow some legs more and take shape, like what you said, like we are actually not yet sure like how and who are the audience for this one. Like, we're just coasting with it. So it's exciting to actually see it unfold, because I feel like our personal journeys are weaving like these conversations that we're actually going to hold. And I got so interested with what you said, like we already have a list of guests that we are about to, you know, feature for the coming episodes, but I'm excited for it to actually be not a featuring of, but more of we're actually having that person come in to have their take on the topic that we are gonna like dive deep into.
Right, right.
And yeah, so
I think our approach on the podcast is similar to our approach on spirituality. For example, we always say, right, like when we do meditation or yoga, we don't have expectations. So we just do it. And when we don't have expectations, we would experience like amazing things like that we didn't expect. So I think I have a similar approach or view on what we are doing on the Almost a Music podcast.
Yeah, for sure. And it's amazing how, you know, it's so different to actually versus it having like a very rigid structure. And I love how it's just an intuitive movement. Like what you said, like it's very similar to how we approach spirituality. Like it's more on take what resonates, you'll take like maybe what feels kind of right at this week and we'll publish it. We'll do some notes. We will like it moves through us. Like it's not really we should guess someone that's like this, that's like that. But I'm excited for it to take shape for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I'm excited to have some more different, diverse thoughts coming in.
The conversation, yeah. Right?
Maybe it's not in a sense that we want this celebrity or somebody coming in, but more of we want those different ideas and thoughts and different perspectives, right? Yeah, it's I'm quite and one thing that I would warn the audience if they want to really go and check the Almost a Music podcast. I don't think that the conversations we are having on the episode is actually can be described from the title of the episode. It's not going to be that, right?
I feel like it's just the tip of the iceberg. It's sort of like kind of an overview, but not really. I feel like it could. We have no structure. If we were to be rated by structure, we're like 1 out of 5. But yeah, it kind of makes sense too sometimes. Like even if we go in different directions, it's sort of still in the realm of, but yeah, it's cool to actually not have a structure. But yeah, maybe it'll gain more structure if we have maybe someone there joining us. I don't know. But yeah, it's nice to see like the dynamics and how the conversation is just flowing.
Right. So Meg, so we started we got connected through Clubhouse through in silence, right? So I know that before you left to the US, you actually took a role in Silence, right? So I'm quite excited. Tell me a little bit about the role and what you're working on based on for that role.
Mm-hmm. So my role when I actually joined in Silence, well, I was curating it in a way that what maybe would best fit me and what were my like inclinations, which part maybe do I enjoy the most. And I am now taking the role of strategy and community lead for In Silence. So mostly right now we're concentrating on, you know, holding different talks and different conversations, safe spaces on Clubhouse, covering all the umbrellas that are in the space of spirituality, technology, all these ancient practices, weaving into, you know, modern times, and just a bunch of like a buffet of different topics and conversations, questions on spirituality, more on spirituality actually. But it's just recently that we have sort of come in to picture like how technology is taking shape and taking a role in the weaving and the marriage of spirituality and technology, as we move forward with such like huge leaps in the space. And I feel like it's opening up like so many different topics, and it's amazing to actually connect to, you know, strangers, which I have met just on the internet and on Clubhouse, and actually, you know, have great conversations with them even off of Clubhouse. So yeah, the role mostly entails holding rooms for Clubhouse, but we have so much more going on the background, just so exciting, which we will, you know, share more in the future. But for now, it's such an amazing and pivotal time.
Yeah, I mean, I remember joining those early Clubhouse rooms, and we had like so many different aspects of, you know, I think the question that we were really asking is whether technology can exist by itself without spirituality, or in the future it's always the technology should be backed with spirituality. That's where probably the right outcome will come for the humans, right? Because otherwise if you just follow technology, you would end up in a sense that it's all materialistic, and you know, I don't think the result is going to be good, even though we would be very advanced in technology. But I think that spirituality and some sort of I think there's, when you say spirituality, there's the ethical thinking, and you know, not harming others and respecting others, and you know, all those things comes in as part of that spirituality side. So I was always interested and supportive of that idea that In Silence was built on. And I still keep on even thinking about it, because whenever I see, even like whenever I see like Black Mirror or something like that on TV, like, it always gives me that question, like if there was some level of spirituality with that level of technology advance, I think they wouldn't face that sort of situations, right? Like what they portrayed in the shows, like, because it's because it's purely just technology just advanced, and humans don't know how to deal with it, really, right?
Yeah, exactly what you said. Like, I feel like we are evolving. We are sort of anchoring through spirituality and evolving through technology, like using these as tools to further, you know, live fully or live an authentic life, even if it kind of is like, it might be vague for people. Like when you say, what does spirituality mean? Like, does it mean like I have to do yoga? Does it mean I have to meditate? Does it have to mean like, you know, I have to have on my bag all these different practices for me to be considered spiritual? And I feel like my simple answer would be, you just have to be yourself. Like, I feel like spirituality is more of being in alignment with who you are and who you, you know, envision to be, and just more on touching on your soul expression. Like, I always see that term because it's such a like beautiful thing to explore, of actually being in the being of your expression to the world, no matter like how that may seem. Like, if you want to be a figure skater, that's like being in alignment, if that's, you know, is if that's what you're called to be in this lifetime. And it could be having to touch like different things, like being embracing your multi-potentialite side, or not even side, because we're going to talk about, you know, fragmented sides of us and our alter egos. That's another conversation. But really, I feel like our spirituality is just being us, like brutally honest with who we are, and not, you know, working towards that unfragmented side of us. Like, this is me as I am with my friends, this is me as I am with my family. But it's such a practice. Like, I never had thought that it's possible for you to slowly integrate who you are in one Meggy. Like, it before, it was such a, this is the side of me that shows up for work, this is the side of me that shows up for Clubhouse, this is the side of me that shows up to my friends in the yoga community. So whenever I would do a thing that they sort of not expect me to actually be, they're gonna be like surprised. But like, when I think about it, I'm like, but actually, like, this is really me. Like, you would just not see the side of me because this is my front at work, or this is my front at this space. So yeah, it's another conversation of that fragment, that fragmented side of being. And I guess working towards being an integrated person, or like of you getting to show up really like how you are, it's a practice, and it's a muscle to really practice.
Yeah, I mean, it really resonated with me what you said, because trying to have that, it's sort of like you have to remember these different, it's like you're in a drama, and then you have to remember all these different roles. In this scene I'm this person, but in this scene I should be another person.
Mm-hmm.
So I think what probably happening is, because of this, we are wasting a lot of mental energy on that, right? Like,
mm-hmm.
and we bring all this, sometimes we have these feelings of shame, or we don't want that to be exposed to my workmates. I want to have, they should know me as like this perfect, person, something like that.
Yeah.
Right. So,
yeah.
So I think, I think I'm also actually been working on that. I think I've been successful in a sense, but I don't think it's something that you could reach 100% yourself, but I think it's a work in progress, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So many things to talk about to touch up on this, but I feel like the first thing that came to mind when you were sharing that to me was the Main's album of Forever Halloween. And I feel like as I would grow older, like the more that it kind of makes sense with what John would write. And he was saying, like, we have like different masks. That's why it's called Forever Halloween. And I was like,
right.
Mind blown. Yeah. And it's so true. Cause like when I would think about it, and when I would think about who I was back then, not as if like me now is like a huge leap, but of course it is, it kind of is, but like whenever I would look back, I would be like, wow, that maybe that's why I was so tired before, because I was showing up as, you know, just a parcel of me in that space, and I will have to recuperate and come back to, you know, my cocoon and recharge again. And then I'm gonna show up again as, you know, that 30% me, but also 100% me. So like, how do I even resolve that? Because I get to be, you know, I get to work on different projects on the side of that space. But at the same time, I would go on, okay, I'll take this hat, I'll take the science hat. Then when I'm back home, I will take the creative hat. That's why these like little projects are existing, because I was trying to really weave my way to have these all integrated. And I would remember always on my birthday, I would pray that, like, I wish and please, like, guide me to have a career that's an intersection of the sciences and the arts, because these are two things that I'm very much passionate about. And back then, like, it would always come up. I would always wish for that on my birthday. And when I would look back, I was sort of unconsciously working towards that without me even trying to slow it down and evaluate. Not until maybe late 2019, up to this point, where I would really consciously, you know, check up on that. But before, it was really just, this is what I wish, this is what I desire, but I don't know if it's possible. But right now, like, when I think about it, it is. And it's a whole new conversation of, you know, doing your own life curriculum. I didn't think that it's possible for you to actually take your pick of, okay, this is what I want to learn. I'm going to put this on my basket and learn this. And this is another maybe side of me that I want to discover. Okay, I'll learn it. But I guess like we were brought up in this space of if you're on the track of the sciences, you should be a doctor. Or if you're on a pre-med track, you should do this, you should do that. Like it's such a cookie cutter path. It as if it's already laid down to you of if you're here, if you took this course, you should be this. If you're in this side, you should be this. But it's such a refreshing thing to actually, you know, keep witnessing people who just go out there and be like very, I don't know the term, like very multi-potentialite. And it's so inspiring to actually, you know, have that and witness their brevity,
right,
in their expression. And it's just now that I'm actually like, you know, embracing all these parts, and it's quite amazing to actually see a weaving of it all, because it kind of is like interconnected. I thought like it was such a, but it was sort of like a parallel universe. It was a polar ends to each other. But as I would, you know, come into like maybe reflection of it, it's sort of a weaving, and it's part of the pie in a way.
Yeah, I mean, people think like, you know, a lot of people push, like especially parents, they push their kids towards like, you should become a doctor, you should become an engineer or a lawyer or something, where it's like, but what I think, and they're not really some, I mean, there are parents who encourage like kids to follow their dreams and do arts and do music and whatever, you know, those things. But what we don't realize is, even if everything worked, like, you know, all the hospitals work, every systems, everything works, economy works, the purpose of people actually living is not just to consume those things, right? The purpose actually is people really, if you really look at it, people really consume the art. I think the purpose of life is really to like enjoy those art, music, and maybe literature and those things. Without those things, I don't think you can really say it's a life, right? I mean, it's a huge part of it. So I don't know why we are not really encouraging people to go and pursue those things, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh my God, beautifully said, Jana. I feel like with what you said, I super resonate with it a lot of like, what if life is actually more of a creative exploration or a trial and error? Or like, what if it really, the unfolding of life is in, or the being and the witnessing of life is in the unfolding of it all. It's in the nuance of the being and the doing, and the trying to discover, oh, maybe this resonates, maybe this doesn't right now, but it's okay. Like, honor to whoever I was back then, because it brought me to, you know, who am I right now. And I feel like there's sort of, there will come a time where you would feel like you're sort of like shameful of like, what are you trying to build? Like, I would like sometimes sit down with myself, like, what is this? And I feel like there's such grace and clarity and golden wisdom in the exploration. And we barely, you know, we barely celebrate transitions. We barely, you know, shed some light on how sort of beautiful but at the same time sad is to actually go through maybe a dark night of the soul. And it's also so cool to like, when I think about it, the question that I would always ask myself is, are you ready to receive the life that you are trying to build? Like, whenever I would see myself like caught up in the go go go, like next goalpost, okay, let's do it. Okay, what's the next target? So like, whenever I would catch myself that running 50 miles per hour in my head, I would always ask myself, like, are you ready to receive the life that you're trying to build? Or are you gonna keep moving to the next goal post, to the next, without actually stopping and receiving? Like, it's a very brutally honest question to actually, you know, dive deep into what could be my answer for that. And yeah, just kind of chewing on that of, are you ready? Like you, maybe like you have been calling, I want to launch this podcast and have, you know, certain number of downloads. But if you're actually right there and having that, you know, experience, like, are you receiving it? Or are you going to be like, okay, 50,000 downloads on, let's go. What's the next? Who's the next guest? So like, I feel like I'm in the season of relishing all the little wins and just basking in that. So it's so hermit mode, but
yeah, I think that's why, like, it's like, actually it's kind of like you know, like slow roast, right? If you slow roast something, it's going to be much more, you know, it's going to be, you know, tastier than like you just burn it, right? Like you put fire and burn it. So I think we should divert to a different topic, because I think we're doing another Almost Music podcast episode here.
Yeah. I know. So, let's save that for later.
Yeah, so Meg, I believe you're one of your from the trip to the US, I think one of your best experiences there is you were actually able to see Maine again, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what was this? I mean, of course, Maine released their last album also while you were there, and we talked about it in the other podcast. But what was the show that you went, and how was that experience? And did that show itself made the whole trip US worthwhile, like just being able to see Maine?
Yeah, I feel like I need 20 minutes for this slot. No, I'm kidding. Yeah, when I was there, I always thought, oh, this is actually the perfect catch my favorite band this year. But I think they for a couple of runs before their show in downtown, they were there at the SoFi Stadium, I think, for just a quick show. But for this one, it's their headlining show with two opening bands. Mm-hmm. And it was sort of, it's funny because the show was on the tail end of my trip. So technically, it's like a sort of full circle moment of how this trip is wrapping up and what a time, what a time right. to actually catch them live. And I feel like there's so many things that went on in the middle of when I got there up to the end of the trip. And it's such a, what a wrap up. I feel like it's such a nice culminating experience to actually witness them there. So I never got to watch a live show of theirs apart from Philippine shows and a Singapore show. And this one is the first time here. I've always been like, enchanted on shows in LA because it's very chill, like compared to the Philippines, although the energy is very undescribable if it's in the crowd of the Philippines, for sure. Like it's 300% much better, but there's a certain element and spice and experience to this show. I feel like it was very intimate. It was at the theater, and it wasn't super jam-packed. I don't know if it's like because of the restrictions, but I watched the show. I booked a ticket for a balcony seat. I was like, I'm good. Like I'm good with a balcony seat. And then the two opening bands came, and I was like, oh, like I got a really good seat because it was like right at the center of the theater, so I could clearly see the stage. So I was like, I'm good. I could, you know, take good photos here. But like when the second band played, I was like, oh, like what an experience would it be? I feel like I could not I could not just sit down for the show. So yeah. It took like around an hour and a half for the first two bands to finish, and then the main's gonna come next. So I was like, when I was looking at the tag of the concert tag that was given to all of the people who are in the venue, it was just the same. So I could technically just go down and catch the show on the pit. And I was like, should I go down? Then when I looked, the people were sort of already crowding up front. But I was like, okay, for this experience, I feel like I have to experience this on the pit. And yeah, I went my way downstairs, and my usual spot would be left side center because it's Kennedy side, like no shame. Sorry, John. Sorry, Kennedy. I mean, Garrett, but your girl. So it was such a, I don't know, so many things happened. Okay, one is Jared proposed to his girlfriend on the show. So we were like, wild. People like, so wild. But I remember people weren't like shouting a few moments before the curtain actually went up. It's so different. Like when it's here, like when we're just playing maybe songs of a different band, even people are already like wild, like they're already right. shouting, but they're like, they're just so chill. They're like, how do you guys do this thing here? although it's like a couple, I've watched a couple of shows, but it's a different band. It was Oh Wonder back then. Still right. chill. Still a chill show, but very intimate, which I love. That's why I like, you know, catching concerts there. Okay, so fast forward. I think they played an intro song of, wait, let me check the song. I think it was the intro of High Forever, the riff of the guitar, like while the curtain was like pulling up. And I was like, oh my gosh, I feel like my heart, I feel like my heart went out of my chest. I was like, oh my gosh, I'm witnessing this band again. And it feels like, it's so cheesy, but it really feels like the first time every time. I would always say that to, you know, whenever I would unpack the show. I feel like it's a different me that witnessed the show. It was a different age of me with my previous show. And yeah, it's such a, like what I said, it's such a timestamp for me. Like the shows have sort of I don't know how to put it. I feel like I was at a different stage of my life on my last show with them, and this one is a whole new different light and a whole, you know, a whole new set of experience, like watching them. So all the more because they're one of the few bands that I actually, you know, grew up with, and that like in itself it's so huge for me. Like I'm super into supporting them in any way, because they have been, you know, such great examples of being authentic and just following their path. I mean, no matter what cost, like they're one of my, you know, greatest expanders, even before I've had like such good mentors and, you know, listen to podcasts that have like hosts who are, and who have been like one of the greatest mentors and expanders in life, but they were one of the earliest ones unknowingly back then that I would really look up to, of like radically claiming what I want to do, and I'll make my way to do that, to do just that. And I feel like they're the perfect examples of really, I don't know, such great people, not just, you know, great band members, great in making music, but also like in life. And it just translates in their music. I clearly see how different their records were before and how different it is for this one. I feel like they're already at a different stage of their life, and it's so humbling to be able to experience that. I feel like they're so used to doing these shows, but at the same time, it's still mind-blowing to witness. Like, they do know how to hold a friggin' show, man. so many things to, like...
I think we had a theory, right? Because I think we talk about this, right? Like they were from like remember we were talking about that there were a lot of alien activity where they were from, right?
Yeah, I feel like that really had like a certain element to it, like the
fact
that they're from,
like,
Arizona.
Definitely, like when you look at like John, right? Like I don't know, he looks like out of this world, right? Right here.
He doesn't age at all, so that's another one which we have talked about. Yeah, he ages backward.
So Meg, I know that you launched your Patreon account and you're offering subscription and stuff like that. So tell everyone about that, and then what's the plan for that and what else is coming for you?
So I launched my own Patreon account. This was such a push and pull. Like, I was like, should I launch one? But this is part of, you know, the soul expression. And like, this is part of owning really the founding name, like the founder piece of me. Like, this actually just another exercise of being an embodiment of what I'm planning to put out in the world. I feel like it's still taking shape, as well as what we found has been, you know, going through as an entity slash, you know, an expression. And I was sort of in the depths of, should I put my name out there? Like, not just me as We Found a Place, but me as Meggie. And that's why I took a chance on, you know, maybe doing more slower and intentional content through Patreon. And I wanted for it to be like very an intimate experience between me and whoever subscribes. So my intention there is to put like unfiltered, maybe like thoughts on transmissions that I've had in California, which I actually have like this notebook of, right, of like a bunch of like different things that I just wrote down on that trip. And I don't know when I would see light of the day of actually it being on paper, but I'm trying to work on that. And it's nice to just actually talk about, you know, all the things that I'm passionate about, like coffee consciousness, or what's the intersection like for the sciences and the arts, and specifically maybe, you know, the different courses that I've had and I've taken back in college, and how that sort of resonates with my spiritual journey. Because I feel like I'm like, it opened really my eyes on how interconnected these topics, weavings are. And yeah, I just wanna share that, and all the different experiences and cafes, like cafe culture, talking about cafe culture, it's on there, and different like different spiritual practices that I would like to share, and all the other rambling. So my Patreon is patreon.com/ Meggie Caparas. So a bunch of, it's a whole buffet of different things that I just wanna, you know, put out, maybe in the context of, or not in the context of, something. So yeah, that's on there. And more stuff coming up for In Silence, and as well as We Found a Place. I'm just, you know, taking my time as it really transforms and takes shape. So I'm glad that I'm actually, like, you know, giving myself the grace to, for it to actually, you know, take shape more as I move along in this journey. And I recently joined this, I don't know, how am I going to call it, like a company, but I'm going to share that maybe soon. So that's exciting. It's part of, you know, a bigger mission. And I'm so excited to be able to just be here and be in the embodiment of, you know, how I wish my life to be.
Right. I mean, do you feel like, because I mean, you actually left your job here, right? Like, before you left the US, you actually quit your job. And do you feel this experience, like you going to States and doing that nomadic sort of life and all that, and then coming back. I feel like this is what like the big CEOs do. Like they go to like Himalaya or somewhere, and then you know they go to Amazon and they come back with a such like they have a lot of energy coming back. They have a lot of creativity out of that experience. Do you feel something like that?
Oh my gosh, I feel like I'm not gonna go as far as the Alps or the mountains of, I don't know, like somewhere very nomadic. But I feel like this trip really opened my eyes so much on all the things. And I came there with questions and I left with more questions. So I was like, what the? What is this life? No, but really, it's such a huge game changer and an experience for me, I would say. Like it's, I have no words with the different lessons that I have learned, and I continue to learn as I, you know, take it back here. So I feel like that in itself was already such a huge like medicine for me. That 5-month trip was already such a huge place for gaining more clarity where I want to move going forwards. And I'm been thinking a lot about things. So I actually miss the Philippines for one. That's for sure, which I never thought I would say, because I was really craving for that, you know, that creative space to be just tap that different side of me. And I feel like I did. I did tap that side of me there. And I can't wait to integrate that more here or wherever I decide to, you know, find myself. So just moving through the motions, I'm excited to, you know, actually be in the position to, you know, do what excites me every day. Although I would say it's not 100% very exciting all the time, but all the things that I'm sort of putting my time and energy to, it's really intentional and it's what I love doing. So it's very, very much worth it.
Right. So Meg, what's your message to the people who's going to listen to this podcast and going to watch this video?
Okay, listen to Almost the Music podcast right after. Pause this and go and subscribe to our channel. No, yeah, it's such an interesting time to actually be back and be able to share this journey and this story with you, Chana. And I'm excited to, you know, just go into the depths of, we're in the tip of the icebergs off on with Almost a Music podcast, and just go with what we are being called to form and take shape in the form and the formless. Ooh. But yeah, I'm excited for that. And thank you, Chana, and for Chana's listeners. You guys are so cool. And I'm excited to watch the space grow. Really. Like I would always say this even before when I first spoke in your podcast, like it's such a pivotal time. And when we come into terms of, you know, who we came here to be, and the more that we embrace that, I feel like we will be shown such magic in the unfolding, and we will meet the right people on this path. And I'm so thankful to be able to be connected with you and to actually start a channel and a clubhouse club. Yeah, so very much excited for this to come out and for your future guests with Chana podcast. Such a good one.
So Meg, thanks for joining this. I know you probably have so many lot of people to meet, right? Now that you're back. So thanks for taking time to join here and sharing all your experiences. And I always wish you all the best with what you're planning to do. And let's work together on the Almost Music podcast. Of course, we as we talk about it, we don't know where it will go, but I know it's going to go a good place. We now that we are back, and we just recorded our latest episode yesterday, so it will be out soon. Yep. As well. Yeah, so thanks again, and have a great evening ahead.
Thank you, Chana.
Thank you, Meg.
Thank you, bye. Okay, let's take a photo.